Hey, good morning. If we've never met before, my name is Doug Halk. I'm the senior pastor here at Live Oak. If we've never met, you're a guest especially, I'd love to meet you. Come introduce yourself after the service, especially if there's anything we can do for you. We're just concluding this series called Seasons, and if you missed any of it, you can go back on the app or website and see some of the previous messages. But the whole point of this series, we wanted to help you make sense of the seasons you're in. You're always in a season. You're always in a season. And when you understand what season you're in, it helps you navigate the season you're in, because what we really believe is you can find purpose in every season of life. Every season has unique challenges, but it also has unique opportunities, because God has unique purposes that he's always working at for his good in your life. And sometimes just understanding what your season in helps you make sense of the season you're in. So that's been our goal in this series, because God set the world up to work with seasons. We want you to name it, to navigate it in terms of the season you're in. Bless you. So kind of the core passage we've been looking at a lot in this series is Solomon, this wise person in the Bible who God gave tons of wisdom. And as he got to the end of his life and was reflecting back, he saw that life worked with seasons. It says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And then he goes through this long list. A time to be born and die, plant, uproot, to kill, to heal, to tear down, to build, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to scatter stones and to gather them, to embrace and to refrain from embracing. So those of you who aren't huggers, there's a time where it's okay to say, not today, don't bring it in. Time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, to tear, to mend, to be silent and to speak. There's a lot we could say about that one. There's a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, time for war, and a time for peace. And every one of these seasons, it's about something's changing. And they're unique. Each one he compares is different. But every one involves change. And then he comes to this conclusion. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. But then he says this thing about God's timing. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And there we are right in the middle of it. We live right in the middle of that beginning to end. And no one can fathom that. We can have some insight, and God can give wisdom and clarity and understanding of what God is doing in this season of life. But the reality is there will be a lot of confusion when you try and figure out what season you're in, or try to figure out what you're doing or what God's doing in that season. But the promise is, in his time, he makes everything beautiful. So how do you navigate this uncertainty? Life is very uncertain. And one of the reasons it becomes very uncertain is because life is always changing. We need a constant in an ever-changing world, because the world is always changing. There's a thing that pilots and scuba divers have to deal with called spatial disorientation. Is anyone a pilot or scuba diver? Okay, so if I'm off on this, just nod and make people think I know what I'm talking about. Wikipedia is an amazing thing. So spatial disorientation is this phenomena that happens for a pilot when something affects his understanding of the altitude velocity, speed, of the different, and the way he gets his bearings. When all of a sudden something in his mind gets thrown off, it could be because of clouds, it happens, and suddenly, or if you think, and you're a scuba diver and you think you need to go up, but suddenly that's not up, you're going down. It just happens. There's something that happens in the mind. It's called spatial disorientation. A pilot tries to climb, and instead, they're descending. One of the most famous examples of this that people point to in terms of that was famous or significant for me was there was a famous plane crash in Lubbock's history. But it didn't happen in Lubbock, Texas. It happened in Iowa. Anyone know what plane crash I'm talking about? Yeah, Buddy Holly. In February of 1959, Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens get on a plane. There was light snow, and several things contributed to the crash, that what the reports say. One is they didn't have a full insight of what the weather was doing. And what the weather was doing was something that they probably shouldn't have taken off, but it was also deteriorating over the path they were taking. They didn't have the right wisdom and insight to say, probably shouldn't take off. The other thing that happened is because of the weather conditions, spatial disorientation happened. And when the pilot got thrown off, the instrumentation on his aircraft was an older type of instrumentation that he wasn't familiar with. It was an older gyroscope. And when he looked at it, he thought it said that he was climbing, but in reality, he was descending. And they crashed with great velocity, and it killed everybody on board. And it was the spatial disorientation that threw him off. Now, this has application for more than the two scuba drivers, divers in the room and pilots. We all experience this kind of spatial disorientation in life. Like suddenly something knocks us off balance, and we're not sure which way is up or which way is forward. Something causes us to become disoriented with following Jesus or looking to our true north or understanding who our identity is. Suddenly something has us kind of looking and going, I'm not sure which way is up right now. And often it's happens because we didn't have the right information. We had the wrong wisdom. We had the wrong flight plan. We were looking for the right wrong thing to guide us. Or we just didn't have the understanding and we got disoriented about which way is forward, which way is up. And if life has ever knocked you for a loop where you weren't sure which way is up and which way is forward, and you're kind of trying to find your way, what's even scarier is there's two types of spatial disorientation. One is one you're aware of, and at the time, like, I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure which way is up. What's even more scary is when you're certain, no, this is up, but in reality, you have it and you don't know it. And it leads to a crash. And chances are we've experienced both of those in our life. I thought I knew what I was doing, but boy, I was heading in the wrong direction. Or I had no idea until all of a sudden I hit a crash and, well, that wasn't working out. Life has a way of throwing us for a loop. Life can be very disorienting. So what we need is a constant in changing seasons, because seasons are always changing. Well, what is our constant in changing season? There's a famous joke, and I'll use it in the context of what we do here with kids ministry. There's a famous joke about this kid was in a small group, and the small group leader was saying, hey, kids, tell me what the answer is. What's furry, brown, has a bushy tail, and gathers nuts for the winter and climbs trees? And the kid says, well, I feel like the answer is a squirrel. I feel like the answer is Jesus because we're in church, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. Like when you're in church, the answer is supposed to be Jesus, right? Well, in this case, the answer actually is Jesus. And of course, I would say that. I'm a pastor. I'm teaching in a church. You would expect me to say, hey, the constant, ever-changing season is Jesus. Well, it's not just true here. It's true out there. And it's not true because I say it. It's true because this is what God says about himself and what those who have followed him have understood to be true, that when life starts becoming disoriented, when you use him as your constant point of reference, he brings stability in the midst of chaos. He brings peace in the midst of uncertainty. And he brings direction in the midst of just being lost. Hebrews 13:8, he makes this statement about who he is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what God wants us to know about who he is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is a verse I would challenge you to memorize. But more than that, I want to unpack and help us understand. There is a lot said with these few words. There's a lot said that's very important in your life, whether life is in a good season or a bad season. Seasons are always changing. Jesus does not change. And here's what that means. Here's why and how Jesus is the constant for every season. First, the person of God, his character. It does not change. Who he is who he was and who he will always be. That verse in the words, Greek word, the word same, it's this, in the Greek, it's this word autos. And it means, it's where we get the word auto. It's automatic. It's consistent. It goes on in perpetuity forever. It's unchanging. Basically, what this is saying is Jesus is who he is. God is who he is. It does not change. You can count on it. Well, why does it feel like he's changing? Why does it feel like maybe at times he's close versus he's distant? He's good versus he's uncaring. Why does it feel that way? Because what we do in life is we often look at who God is through the lens of our circumstances. We talk about this a lot around here, that a lot of times what we do is we look at God through the lens of what's happening to us. And I'm experiencing a lot of pain. So I look at God and say, God's the source of that. God's the cause of that. Or God doesn't care about that. Or we're going through a loss and we're grieving that. And we look through God through the lens of our circumstances. And what God challenges to do, his character never changes. So do you flip the lens and understand when you look at your circumstances through the lens of who God is, it helps us bring clarity to understand that God's character is unchanging. He is who he is, he is who he was, and that's who he always will be. His goodness, his kindness, his love, his justice, his power, it is unchanging, even though our circumstances are always changing. And if you have your circumstances as your point of reference, you will become disoriented. The person of God, his character, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, so are the promises of God. He makes these promises that are consistent. He does not change his mind. He does not change his promises. God keeps his promises. And that's part of the integrity of his character. That he doesn't change his promises because he didn't change who he is. And you can trust his promises because you can trust his character. And so the challenge is for us is we need to keep his promises in mind. And when we keep his promises in mind, we do that because he keeps his promises. We know that these are true. I can count on these. And sometimes we mistake God's absence because of his timing. Well, he hasn't answered it yet, so we think his character has changed. And last week we made this case that we can trust God's plans for our life, but if you really want to see if you're trusting God's plans for your life, are you trusting his timing as well? Because sometimes we get uncertain when the timing isn't what we think it should be. But God's consistent, and he keeps his promises. If you expand this passage in Hebrews 13, he's talking about kind of a bigger reason, and he gives some example of how to do this, trusting his character and his promises. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. This is one of the first areas that causes disorientation. If you look for something else to base your contentment on, you will constantly become disoriented. The minute that runs out, which it always does in one way or the other, whatever your source of contentment is, eventually it will run out unless it's something consistent like the character of God. So he says, trust in me, not in stuff, because God has said, and he goes back to these promises, two promises from the Old Testament. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's a promise he counted on. That's God's promise that I can count on it because his character is true, his promises are true, and this is a consistent promise throughout Scripture. It was a promise made to David, made to Moses. It's made to us. Jesus made this promise when he was born. It was the promise statement made about him. You'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. Jesus made this promise when he ascended into heaven after his resurrection. And I will be with you always. The most frequent promise in Bible you should memorize and remember and count on it. He said, I will be with you. That's a promise. You can count on it. Then he goes to this next promise. The Lord is my helper. He's with me, but he's also helping. He's my helper. I will not be afraid. He gives me courage. What can mere mortals do to me? God is bigger than anything or anyone I feel like I'm up against. And then he challenges us to think about people who lead us. And are the people who are leading you and influencing your life, do they live up to this description? And do you, as someone who has influence, everyone has influence, does this describe you, someone who lives this way? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Is your faith worth imitating? Jesus is your fixed point of reference, you will have a faith in someone who's bigger than you, who's got you, who's with you, and people could look to you, and what they won't see is how great you are, but how great your God is. As he shows up in the midst of circumstances, say, well, nobody in the right mind would have courage in this. Nobody in the right mind would have an attitude like that in this situation. Well, it's not about a right mind, it's about a right faith. Jesus, and this is where our faith is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you have that consistent point of reference, it gives you a source for your faith that can be imitated, and you trust God's promises. God keeps his promises, so keep his promises in mind. And then there's also the purposes of God, that God's purpose in season and every season, God has a purpose for every person. Every season has purpose, and he has purpose for every person. And as you go through and you realize God is doing something here, he's writing a story, and it might be for what he's doing in my faith, or what he's going to do as a ripple effect in the life of others. And all of that is made possible because of the presence of God, which again is the most common, frequently mentioned promise in the Bible. So when you understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is the constant in our ever-changing lives and world, you know that's true for his person, his character, his promises, his purposes, and it's all made possible because he is with you. Now, as I have gotten older, I turn 49 this week. And I tell you that for two reasons. One, my birthday is this week. Get busy. Do something. Just kidding. I had one guy say one time, hey, when I die, I'm going to leave something to the church in my will. I was like, hey, why don't you do it now? I'm right here. I'm here right now. Anyway, just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. All that to say my birthday's this week. But here's the thing. As I get older, like, I've had to start wearing glasses. And my kids picked it out, so it's from the Squints collection, from the Sandlot glasses. So I got these glasses my kids picked out. I'm having to wear them because, man, the print just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I always have my notes just on one page, and I try to keep to that, and I don't know why, it's just what I do. And I was like, man, the font is getting so big that this one page is going to have to be a cue card. Why is the font getting smaller and smaller and smaller? It's not. My eyes are just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. I needed to change my lens to see something that was not changing. I needed to make a change here to see something that was not changing. And this is why we talk so much about what lens are you looking at the world through? If you're looking through the lens of faith in who God is, his person, the promises he makes, his presence in your life, and the fact that he's got purpose that he brings with him. If that's your lens, you see the world differently. It gives you a fixed point of reference and it helps you see with clarity. We've looked at two role models in this series. We looked at Joseph. We talked about seasons of waiting. And again, like I said it during that, like when you read Joseph's story, if you read that on someone's social media feed, you would be heartbroken. I mean, betrayed by brothers. They wanted to kill him, but they said, well, let's just sell him into slavery. Now he's a slave. He's been trafficked. And he's in a foreign country. Everything he ever knew was taken from him. And then he's got a great job as a slave, but then he's falsely accused there. Wrongly accused and thrown in prison. And then he's in prison and he's forgotten for long periods of time, but he wasn't forgotten by God. And he always looked at what was going on. It says frequently throughout his story, and God was with him. He believed the presence of God. He believed God had a purpose in it. He knew that God promised his presence, and he believed God's character was unchanging. That's how he viewed the world, and it changed how he reacted and responded. We also talked about Daniel the first week. Again, someone who's taken captive from his home country. He loses everything, more than we could possibly imagine. He loses it all. But he kept following God, realizing that God had purpose. He was present, and he could be trusted. And if you look throughout Scripture, it tells us this again, again, and again. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust his person, promises, purposes, and presence. Look at this. It says this in Numbers 23:19. And he kind of asks a question for you to think about. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Like, how do you answer that? Do you believe God keeps his promises? It will change the way you view the world if you believe God keeps his promises. And he says this. If your point of reference is somebody in this world, that what God's like, whether it be a spouse, an enemy, someone who has abused us, someone who has left us, anything. If your point of reference is God is basically who that person is, you will have a hard time. That's why Jesus reorients us to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus shows up in person so we could see the perfect example of what a human being looks like when they're fully surrendered to God because they are fully God. God with us helps us understand who God is. When you look at Jesus, he is someone that does not change his mind. He keeps his promises. He acts. He's active. Be careful of the lens of how you're viewing God. Moses says this in Psalm 92. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. He's consistent. And this is what he tells them. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Because he's with you, nothing will destroy you. And it's hard to believe that when you hurt. It's hard to believe you feel that he's with you when you feel alone. Be careful about the lens you're using. Lean into his person and his promises. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. And what we said the last 2 weeks is gratitude and thankfulness is very important. Not because it helps you be thankful for what you have, it reminds you of who gave it to you. And when you remember everything you have is from him, it reminds you that he's generous, he provides, and he's enough. And he makes this statement about the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And if you view God through the lens of your circumstances, the shadow is constantly changing. And on sunny days, God is great. On cloudy days, God's not. He does not change. He is good all the time. And then Revelation 1:8, Jesus says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the Greek alphabet, A to Z, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. God does not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Memorize this. Count on this. And in this one verse that has just a few words, there are some big promises made. And here's three promises this verse is making. What I would challenge you to do is understand how Jesus impacts your past, your present, and your future. Read these promises out loud every day if you can. Believe them. Pray them. Speak them over your life. Cling to these. Because what he says, when it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, for our yesterday, it means this. Jesus redeems all of my yesterdays. All of my yesterdays are taken care of. And some of us, we remember yesterdays that they were really good and we're grieving what's lost. That's okay. Jesus takes care of that. Because he says, I can do more than you ask and imagine in the future, but I can take care of that. But for many of us, what we think about when we think about our yesterdays and we think about our past, they're not the highlights. They're the scenes we wish were edited out of the story. They're the scenes that we hope no one would ever find out. Some of the stuff that's gone on in our mind, some of it's gone on in our actions, some of the things that come out of our mouths, we think of our yesterdays and we have shame, or we have guilt, we have regret. Or sometimes we have regrets over our past of something that somebody else said, somebody else did, that we didn't have a choice over, but it was done to us. And our past, it grieves us, it causes us pain. And God says, I can take that and I can redeem that. None of our past is lost. It's all used for his good purposes in your life, that he can redeem all of our yesterdays. There's purpose in every season of life, including past seasons that we wish we could forget. No matter what we're going through, God tells us what his purpose is, how he can redeem it for his purposes. In Romans 8:28, we've talked about it a couple times in this series. And we know that in all things, all of our past and every other part of our story, God works for the good of those who love him. He doesn't say that it is good. He says he uses it for good. Let's call the past what it is. If it was bad, call it bad. But remind yourself that God can use it for good. For those who love him, so if your heart is to love God with all you have, he goes, I can use this. If you want to be part of his purpose in your life, God, I want your purposes in my life. There's a God, it's you, not me. You're in charge. The minute you're in that moment, God says, my purposes can get to work in your life, and I can use all of it. And then he says this about further clarity on your purpose. If you want to know what God's plan is for your life, it's this. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Every day, Jesus is at work in your life to draw you to Jesus, to make you more like Jesus, and help others see Jesus in you so they can be drawn to Jesus and become more like Jesus. And then people can see Jesus in them. Every day of your life, what's God's plan for your life? To draw you to Jesus and make you more like Jesus. Tomorrow, what God is working on today is that your tomorrow, you would look a little bit more like Jesus in terms of your person and how you carry yourself, your character. God is trying to make you more like Jesus. When they asked Michelangelo, not the Ninja Turtle, the artist, how he sculpted a statue, I think it was the statue of David, he said, basically what I did is I didn't chisel out what looked like David, I chiseled out everything that didn't. Well, that doesn't look like David, so he just kept chiseling, and he removed everything that didn't look like David, and finally he came up with the statue of David that existed. Every day, God is this master craftsman, this artist, who's working in your life to make you more like Jesus. And that process can be difficult, but it's necessary because he wants to draw you closer to himself so you know personally that he can be trusted. And that people look at your life and they see Jesus showing up and it draws them to him. That's his plan every day in your life. And he redeems all of your yesterdays for those purposes. Every day of your life and everything in your life, God has purposed it to connect you to Jesus and make you more like him. And he redeems all of our yesterdays. And then Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It impacts our present as well. It impacts our todays. Jesus Christ is more than enough for my right now. If you could fully believe that right now, this season of your life, as best you've named it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything that's in there, if you could say, this is my season I'm in, and sometimes it's a hard season. If you can understand and fully embrace, man, this is how hard it is. Be honest. But always keep this in mind that Jesus is more than enough for your right now. He is more than enough to handle what's going on right now. And the main reason we can say that with confidence is because of this promise he made. I will be with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. I am for you. That promise that was made to David and to Moses and made by Jesus, it was made to you. That you're today of what you're going through, he's with you. The problem is when it's dark, it's hard to see him. But he always gives reminders. I've told this story before, but one time I was at this place called Boston's Pizza in Dallas. I don't think it exists anymore. I think it closed down. And I was in there one day, and I was meeting somebody at, like, between shifts. Like, the restaurant was just, nobody was there. And so the person wasn't there, so I went in the restroom. And I won't give a lot of details because I went in the restroom. And as I'm in there, I thought I was alone. Keyword thought. And a song comes on the radio, "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey. Like, it's my ringtone. Like, I've got to sing along. And the acoustics were amazing in there. I sounded great. And then I heard, and I stopped singing. I stopped everything at that moment. Like, don't say it out loud. There's this reminder of this guy just letting me know, you're not alone. And it changed the way I acted in that moment. God has a way of doing that, of kind of just clearing his throat, to kind of get our attention and remind us he's with us. Sometimes it's very subtle, because what God wants to do is, I want you to lean in with faith and trust. Even though it doesn't look like it, do you believe I'm here in the dark with you? That was the great promise made to David. As he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Not I'll be waiting for you on the other side. I'll be with you. And when you understand that Jesus is with you and he's more than enough for today, it helps your perspective. Peyton Kennedy is back in the booth. He's our service director today, which means he leads all of us on stage and in the booth to make sure everything kind of flows well so you can have undistracted and focused, you know, worship and experience here to help God do whatever he wants to do in your life today. And so we all meet before the service and we run through the elements, and he voiced our prayer today. And I was very convicted by what he prayed. And he basically said, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he basically said, God, help us to be fully present in this season we're in. Not to be so focused on the next season, but focused on here and now, that you're with us and you're at work. And I was really convicted by that, because I tend to be very strategy thinking, and the shadow side of that is very anxiety thinking, and think about the what ifs. And I love that challenge in his prayer. And I hope God answers it for me and us, and as we lean into the fact that God is with us and he's more than enough for right now. And what God's doing right now is very important, or he wouldn't be doing it. So what you're going through right now, as hard as it is, God is doing something in this moment. And as you look forward for a solution, look in your present for your Savior. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He redeems all of our yesterdays. He's more than enough for our right now, but also it impacts our forever. Jesus is already in all of my tomorrows. That place where I'm worrying how it's going to turn out, it's not just that he already knows. He's already there. He's all present. So he's there. And when I get there, he will be there. You know, for me, one of my big struggles is worry and anxiety. And it helps me in some ways, because I can think ahead and think through different scenarios. And if something goes wrong, I've usually thought about that going wrong, and I'm kind of prepared. But I've also thought about everything else that could go wrong, and it wreaks havoc on my life. And so I've had to really navigate that well. And if you ever struggle with worry, if you're like me, Jesus Christ already being in all of my tomorrows, and when I get there, he'll already be there, is something you need to know about him being the same forever. Future is at the core of worry, but so is trust. And trusting that God's got this, and he's got that. And it's a tough thing to wrestle through. But when I fully believe this truth, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's already in all of my tomorrows, it helps me navigate my todays. And when I focus so much on the what ifs, I miss the what is. I start looking through the lens of what if rather than what is true. And it's spatial disorientation, and it usually is followed with a crash, or even worse. It's followed by me just kind of gently navigating off course, but think nothing is wrong. There's two types, actually there's three types of spatial disorientation, but one of the types is you know it. You sense, I'm not sure which way is up right now. The more dangerous one is when you don't know it and you keep navigating as if you think you know which way is north, which way is up. And I think it's far more dangerous to drift unknown and not tethered to Jesus and leaning into him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are promises and implications of how it impacts our yesterday, our past, our present, and our future. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says this. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose. He doesn't change. It's an unchanging nature of his purpose. Very clear to his heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. He's saying so much about this unchanging nature of who he is. But is this who you are? We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. What are you fleeing to for security? What are you fleeing to for contentment? When you start getting disoriented in life, what do you run to? Who do you run to? A lot of times we run to something in our past that we had already run from. Be very careful what you do when life starts getting disoriented. When your hope is set fully on Jesus, when you trust he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is your yesterday, your today, and your forever, he's who we run to, and we become greatly encouraged. He says, when you do that, when you have grab hold of that hope, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Whatever you run to and look to for hope, for security, for encouragement, for contentment, nothing can live up to the promise of being firm and secure like Jesus can. How could it? He's the creator of everything. And only the creator of everything could be the one that's ultimately secure. We've wanted to give some time in this series to give you some time to reflect because life doesn't always allow that opportunity. So we're going to close the service that way. And I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come up. And as they do, I want you to think about what season you're in. And what's unique about the season that's uniquely challenging for you? Or what's unique about the season that's a unique opportunity? And I know for some of you, you're going through a difficult season of life. And when you look at what's going on in this season of life, hope gets diminished. It seems to be hard to find. C.S. Lewis had this great comment about whenever you experience something in this world that's just not quite enough, it's evidence that you're created for something other than this world. Here's why it's good news that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because yesterday is gone. Today will end, and ultimately, in one of these tomorrows, we will step into eternity. And death does not have the final answer. But Jesus does. And because he conquered the grave, he can say, I uniquely am the way. I uniquely am the truth. And I uniquely am the life. And he is our fixed point of reference. Whatever season you're in right now, he's present. And his good character and his true promises are with you. And whenever you see seasons start to change, there's usually some kind of sign. This week, my daughter ran up and she had a leaf from our tree and said, hey, look, this fell off the tree. And it was kind of turning brown. I was like, yeah, it's fall is here because leaves are falling. Isn't that kind of cool? And whenever you see some kind of signs that leaves are changing, it reminds you that God's in charge of all our seasons. That he's in charge. And they're going to play a song called Cherry Blossoms about this guy who's in winter, a season of winter, where things are dead. And then he sees life kind of start springing forward as he smells the cherry blossoms. And it reminds him that the God who created the season, who's present at every season, is always bringing new life. And he becomes our hope. And our hope isn't that the season will change. Our hope is in the creator of seasons. So what I want to ask you to do is you listen to this song about the signs that seasons change and serve a reminder for God's character. Think about the season you're in. Think about your trust in his timing, your trust in his presence, and his promise that he's present in every season of life and he's at work through the process. Spend some time reflecting, just praying silently, asking God what he has for you as your next step in this current season.